we are now, the Olam was wondering, we always work on series. We have themes. There's a big mystery what we were going to be doing now. The truth is, I didn't know myself. This is the hardest period of time because there's no theme. There's no, during Shovavim, we do Shovavim. During Yantivs, we do Yantivs. And then Elul is Elul. And then this period of time has no theme. So the truth is that there's something personally that I'm finding a little bit difficult. And it's an opportunity for me to work on something that I find goes up and down and sometimes goes stale entirely. And that is davening. You know, sometimes davening's going really well. And sometimes it's a totally flat experience. And it's one of the dvarim shetzrichim chizuk. A person has to be mechazik in his davening. And Baruch Hashem, I already have a karsa type to the olam. This week's davening, chewing on this sugya of davening, of tefillah, has helped me get out of my slump a little bit. And I hope that we'll be able to be mamshech weiter. Davening is something that's something we do every day for long periods of time, which is interesting because in terms of working on something, it's somewhat refreshing that we don't have to add new time to our day. You know, if you tell somebody to start learning more, so they have to spend more time doing it. They might have to, you know, they might have to change their schedule. But here, all of us are davening, I hope, Ezras Hashem. If not, maybe we'll talk about that later, how to start davening and get out of bed. But that's not the topic right now. We're assuming that we're davening, but what we're davening, we're using these hours up, hundreds of hours. Hundreds of hours. If you do a cheshbon of how many hours of your life you spend davening, it's scary. You can take out your phone and do a cheshbon with the calculator. You'll come out to thousands upon thousands of hours in your life. We're davening. And yet, there's something very empty. I usually don't get the opportunity to watch people daven. Sometimes I daven a little too long, and then by the time I'm done, I can't see what happens when people daven. But sometimes I learn with my son Yitzchak on Erev Shabbos, and I've davened mincha ready, and I was like, one of the first times in my life I got to watch people daven. It's like interesting. Watching people davening. It's inspiring to watch people davening. Certain people, it's like, wow, look at that. It's like unbelievable. And then you see other situations where people seem totally lost in their davening, right? First of all, there are people who are just like this. And then they like think they got a stain on their and they're like in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, like. And then they see you watching them. And then there are people who like don't bite their nails or cuticles all the time, but they're like, and then they're like looking at this. It's unbelievable how the emptiness of the experience. It was sad for me to watch this. I watched this a few times, not just at Mincha then, but also at the early Mincha. At the early Mincha, when I daven in the back, I watch people daven. And I hope, I have my own mishigas that nobody can see. Mine's all stuck inside, nobody can see it. But there's something here. There's something that's not being used. It's unbelievable what's going on. It must be painful to daven like this. To sit there and have to go through a davening that's so blah. It's awful. It's an awful experience. So if we can grow in davening and figure out what we're doing, we'll literally gain hours and hours of our lives that are so incredibly boring and so incredibly frustrating. So we're going to start with the basics. The basics are the following. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Vav Amud Beis says about tefillah, it's talking about tefillah. Amri le Rav Bibi le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, mai krum zulis lebnei Adam. Amri le elu dvarim she'omdim berumo shel olam. These are the things that are kiroim zulis, that are lofty, but are made fun of. Kiroim zulis. They're high, but they're made fun of by people. Dvarim that are omdim berumo shel olam ubnei adam mizalzlim vahem. Rashi says it's going on davening. Davening is lofty and people make fun of it. Question is, what's this Gemara talking about here? Like, what davening gets this tough rap that people make fun of it? you know, there are other things you can make fun of. You know, these tassels we wear, they're pretty funny. You know, and most of us have no idea what we're doing with these things. The boxes we put on our arm and head, we shake a branch and a lemon. We do a lot of funny things. Why in the world is davening getting such a tough rap that people are mezalzel bo? And why is the Gemara telling us it's so high and people make fun of it? Now listen to something that I think is a profound understanding of this Gemara. There are certain things in life that are so high, so big, that they're so not in front of you. A person takes three steps forward and he's told that he's going into a different stratosphere. He's traveling in front of Hashem, mamish into the Kodesh Kedashim, and he's having a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you're telling me I'm doing that? Rabbi, I'm looking in front of me. I see Shimi Schlesinger over here. I see Yankee. I don't see Hashem over here. It's just me and finding stains on my shirt, picking my nails. There's nothing going on over here. The reason you don't see anything over here, the reason there's nothing to shake and no tassels to wear, is because this thing is so high, it's so out of here that you won't be able to see anything. There's nothing to see over here. And we're most likely to make fun of this because it's so not tangible. Come on. It's really that great? I'm right here. This is where I am. And the answer is dafka. The things that are on the most abstract and high levels, all the way communicating to Hashem, and I'm looking and I don't see anything, that's dafka, the things that get made fun of. It doesn't mean you're making fun of them because they're strange. It's hard to believe that this could really be something great right now. It's a drag. I'm standing here and I'm looking in front of me. This is why a person has to close their eyes when they daven. It's a halacha. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah says that whoever wants to see the Shechina, when they leave the world after Me'ev Esrim, they have to close their eyes or look in the Siddur. And the reason is because they can't really feel that they can look forward. Because the Shekhinah's over there. What do you mean? I'm not looking at the Shekhinah. There they are. I see everybody over here. There's no Shekhinah over here. It is here. Close your eyes so you can see reality. There are certain times in life that you can only see if you close your eyes. In davening, the only way you could see is if you close your eyes. Because it's so high that eyes don't work for this type of thing. It's way beyond. And when you go into that Shemona Esrei, there's a different world. There's something going on. But it's dafka made fun of. So we have to understand what is really the seriousness and greatness of davening. That it's something that's the ikar of a person. Perhaps even the definition of a person is davening. The most classic raya for this, that the definition of a person is davening, is a Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Gimel. One of the Avos Nezikin is called Mave. Rav says Mave is Adam. Mave is Adam. Mave is the Mazik called Adam. And it brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, Chaf Aleph. Amar Shomer Asa Boiker Vegam Laila Im Tivoyun Boyu. What does it mean, Boyun? Mave. Boyun means, Rashi says, to be Mavakish from Hashem, Mechila. To ask Hashem for forgiveness, to be mevakish. And all the Rishonim in Yeshaya say that the word bayu means to daven, to ask Hashem for something. So we know that mave, there's the shor, there's a bar, there's an esh, and then there's something called mave. Mave is somebody that asks questions. That's an adam, someone who asks Hashem questions, who davens. That's what an adam is. An Adam is defined, a person is defined by asking Hashem in tefillah? That doesn't make much sense to me. I would never define a person by asking Hashem for things. That's not how I would define a person. There are a lot of things that I would say. And yet the Gemara says it's a definitional point in a man that he goes to Hashem and asks him for things. Why? Why is that definitional? Why is that part of the Hagdara of being a man? That you go into a Shemona Esrei and you ask Hashem for things. What's going on with that? And now to tell you something absolutely amazing, just put on your thinking caps for a second, just a little for this one. This is a little bit of a blowaway. The Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai, the Heiluga Ben Ish Chai from Baghdad. And in his Sefer Binayahu on Maseches Brachos says the following thing. The word Adam is spelled Aleph, Dalid, Mem. Adam. Now there's a certain way of seeing a word when you just spell out the letters of the word. For example, Aleph is spelled, the word, the letter Aleph, if you spell it out, is Aleph, Lamed, Pe. The letter Dalid is Dalid, Lamed, Tuf. Dalid. And the letter Mem at the end is Mem, Mem, Mem. Right? Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pe. Dalid is Dalid, Lamed, Tuf. And then you have at the end Mem, Mem. If you take the letters that are hidden in the word Adam, right? In the word Adam, the Aleph, the hidden letters are Lamed and Pe. In the Dalid, the hidden letters are the Lamed and Tuf. And in the Mem, there's a hidden Mem. You know what word it spells? You'll get chills. Mispalel. An Adam, the hidden meaning behind the word Adam, if you spell out the letters of his name, it comes to the word Mispalel, a davener. Why? What is it about davening? It's fascinating. It's a fascinating thing. In fact, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita, said he was machaving to this on his own. This like took me, I fell off my seat from that. And he said later he found the Binayahu says it himself. I couldn't believe the two Jews had this wild idea. Like, this was beyond my comprehension. But an Adam is a davener. And the Shaila is, what is the big deal about davening? In fact, the davening is even a mitzvah is difficult. How are you mitzvah someone? I understand a mitzvah, you want me to wear tzitzis, you want me to put tefillin on my head, no problem. You're asking me to ask Hashem things? What? You're asking me to ask? What? You know, let's say I don't feel like asking, I don't want something. I have to ask? Ad kedei kach, the Ramban in his Hasagas on Sefer HaMitzvos writes that davening can't be a mitzvah for this reason. You can check me up on this. Davening cannot be a mitzvah. He says davening's a chesed that Hashem gave you, that if you ever have a problem, you have someone to go to. But you can't be mitzvah if someone to do this. But yet, the Rambam paskins that davening is a mitzvah. Many Rishonim paskin davening is a mitzvah daily. The Rambam paskins it's a mitzvah daily. And the question is, why is this so important? Davening is called avoda, service of Hashem. The altar of Kelm and others ask, how can you call asking for what you need service of Hashem? It's the most self-centered thing to do. I want a Ferrari, and I want a pizza, and I want... If you do that, if you ask for a Ferrari and a pizza, I would suggest that you should have loftier things in life than a Ferrari and a pizza. But if you ask for a Ferrari and a pizza, you're Mekayim Avoda, 100%. We'll have to sit you down for higher priorities, Maskim. But there's a mitzvah to ask for a Ferrari. There's a mitzvah to ask for whatever it is. There's a mitzvah. Why is that called avoda, service of Hashem? That's service of me. This is a question that's raised by Gedoli Achroinim, the altar of Kelm, and the Gedoli Bali Musar. Why? What's the service in all this? Why is man called prayer, davening, asking? His essence is asking. Why is it called a mitzvah that Hashem commands us to ask? And why is it called avoda? Ezehu avoda shebelev. What is the service of the heart? Speaking to Hashem and asking Him for things. And if you're going to tell me that the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom is praising Hashem, it's not. The mitzvah, as the Rambam shtelz it avek, is to, technically you praise Hashem before and thank Him at the end. But it's all for the sandwich in the middle that you can now ask in the middle. So why is that called service of Hashem? What's going on over here? So let's go. Let's go deep into really what we are, what our whole essence is. The Mesillas Yesharim says in the very beginning that what is the goal of life? We are man and we are put here with a mission statement. What do we do over here? What's our goal? So he says that the Yisod HaChassidus B'Shorash HaAvoda Atzmima, the goal of life is to be Mis'aneg al Hashem, to enjoy and be connected, to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is right. In Olam Haba, it's to the extreme, total dvekas. But the goal of us in life is to have a kesher with Borei Olam, to have a connection with Him. That is why the Rabbeinu Shalom created us. He created us in order to enjoy that incredible thing that's called a relationship with Hashem. That's the greatest gift that Borei Olam could ever give us, is the ability to have that relationship. And that is what everything is having a kesher. You know, sometimes people want to have a shaychus with somebody. You know what they want to do? They want to have a question. If you find a chash of a rav, right? You want to ask him a question. A lot of times this happens to me. I see somebody chash of, I'm like, what can I ask? What can I ask? Why do I want to ask something so badly? Because I want to have a conversation with him. If I have a question, then I will have a dialogue. But do I really care, I'm embarrassed to say, about the answer to my question? No. I just want to have a dialogue. It's a big limud zchus if someone comes over to you and asks you the most ridiculous question. Maybe they just like you and they want to talk. It happens to me all the time. Good. Try it, Rishtrayer. Been there, done that. Okay. So the idea of a question is to create a relationship. I went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita recently, and I was so happy. I had two or three questions that were bothering me for years, but I'll be honest with you. The high that I was on when I was done speaking to Rav Chaim is I asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky questions, and I got answers. I was on a total high. But the high was not the question. It was a key to having a kesher, to being shayach to that person. A Rav that I know was tested by the Chazon Ish when he was younger. The Chazon Ish would test kids in the cheder. Chazon Ish, the Heilige Chazon Ish. And he said the Chazon Ish would ask them such easy questions in the cheder. It's a pacha to be in front of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish was not a person that we could understand. I spoke to a nephew of his. You know, I asked him what was the Chazon Ish like. He was living in his house with Brannerman. He said the Chazon Ish was someone who learned Torah until the point where the ambulance would come, because he just, that was his life. His life was learning until Sakanas Nefash. Scary, scary. So many scary. To have a test from the Chazon Ish, and he said the Chazon Ish asked the easiest questions to these cheder kids, no brainers. Why? This Rav said, and this was probably the hashara. These kids, the ikker was that they should speak to the Chazon Ish and go home to their mommy and Abba and tell their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren that they got tested by a Chazon Ish. That was the point of the meeting. The meeting was not an issue of figuring out what types of bikim they were. It was a dialogue with the Chazon Ish. And fakert, in such a thing, it has to go smoothly. So it should be a greater memory, a greater chizuk. But this type of asking, when you ask a question, you're creating a relationship. You're creating something amazing. A lot of times when you have problems in life and somebody helps you with it, it creates a very deep relationship. Right? Parents, a lot of times when they have a child that gives them a run for their money, the parent has a special relationship with that kid. I'm not saying a better relationship. I don't want to get into family politics. But there's a certain closeness that's had because of the problems. The problems and the solving and that whole process creates a very strong bond. And that's how it works. There's a problem and there's a solution. With us in Borei Olam, this is what tefillah is. Tefillah is a chance to come in front of Hashem and experience the most closeness, devekus, the tachlis of Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim says to be connected to Hashem. Here, you are literally speaking to Hashem. Again, it doesn't seem like it, and people mock it, and they say, come on, give me a break, Rabbi. But you're having the most simple dialogue with the Rabbono Shalom. He's listening to you as if you're a Ben Yachid, as if no one else is there, and you're giving over what's bothering you, and you're developing a kesher nafshi together. This is the only time in the day where you think so much about Hashem. In fact, the Nefesh HaChaim writes, the Hasidim, not all of them, but the Hasidim were very big that when they were learning, it was very holy, the experience. Very, very holy. They wanted to feel Hashem's presence at all moments when they were learning. And the Nefesh HaChaim was fiercely against this. He held that you can't learn Torah that way. He says there's so many parts of the Torah that even bring you into the gutter. There are parts of the Torah where you try to figure out how Ganavs lie and if this guy is his Migo, if he's saying Sheker or not. You're so involved in things that are so mundane that it would literally be detrimental if you're busy thinking about Shemayim and swimming up to the Rabbono Shalom while you're learning. You can't even learn well. It's not the normal way of engaging in Torah, even though Torah is connecting you to Hashem. But that's not the time to be thinking about the Rabbono Shalom. It's to be thinking about his Torah. His Rashba, his Ritva, his Rashi, his Tosfos. That's how you learn Torah. So in some ways, Torah doesn't have that, but Tefillah is me and the Rabbonu Shalom schmoozing. Me giving over things that really bother me, really frustrate me, and I'm sending them over to the Rabbonu Shalom, and I come out of that experience a real man. I come out of that experience really understanding that I have a relationship with Borei Olam, that He created me for this reason. Maveh is a bakasha, to be a mispalel, to ask. The yisoid is to create the relationship of there's somebody who can help me who's Borei Olam. So much so, it goes so vite, that the Medrash says in Bishalach, Parsha Chaf Aleph, hey, it says that Klal Yisrael was supposed to leave Mitzrayim and everything was going well. We had the Eser Makas and things were going well, and now the Mitzrayim are chasing us, and it should be smooth sailing. It really should. But it wasn't. What happened? They were Sogur Mukafin Meshalish Ruchas. They were locked in from three sides. Hayam, the water, the Sone, the Mitzrim, and Chayas from the Midbar, wild animals. They called out to Hashem, we're stuck here. You're sending us out from Mitzrayim, and now we're hitting a dead end. You can imagine the panic. And Batzalku LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they cried to Hashem, Shenemar Vayitzaku B'nei Yisrael Hashem. Why did Hashem do this, Frech the Medrash? Lama Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemkach. The Mepharshim explained, this is not part of the plan, this is like a practical joke. Imagine, we're hitting the climax of the story, Rabosai. And all of a sudden over here, there's a lack of clarity. Elo she'yikadosh baruch hu misavel l'tfilas, and Hashem wanted their tfilas. And the Medrash says, what does it mean Hashem wanted their tfilas? It gives a mashal. It says there was a king. And the king saw a daughter of royalty. And she was in trouble. And he saved her. He saved her. And he really felt that they built a relationship and he wanted to marry her, but she really wasn't interested. The relationship wasn't forged enough yet, and that's it. But the king really wanted to marry her. And then the king orchestrated a problem. He orchestrated again that just like last time he was the knight in charming armor saving the princess, again he orchestrated that there should be a problem where she's screaming, King, King, help me! And suddenly, the king comes, takes care of business, and the king says, really, I just wanted you. And they were able to forge that relationship to the point where they got married. The Medrash says, Borei Olam, Hashmieni es Koylech. Borei Olam wants to hear our voices. First in Mitzrayim, we screamed out once. Then we started that relationship, but then we like lost focus again. Then Hashem created a panic so that we could recapture that moment. Have a good davening. A big problem, Rabosai, brings out a big, big connection to Hashem. When you have a big problem and you throw it on to Hashem, those davenings, you'll never want to trade in those davenings. When you thrust that problem onto the Rabbonu Shalom, there's a feeling of connection that could never have been. That could never have been without that. Rav Yerucham says in Das Torah, off of this Medrash, he says he remembers the great fire in Mir. There was a terrible fire, and he said they had a fire department back then. You know, I don't know how it worked, but he said there's a fire department. He says, but this was no match for them. They folded out. This fire was way too big. And he saw one of the pokrim, somebody who was not shaykh to Torah and mitzvahs at all. And he was screaming out to Hashem, Oy, Rabbonu Shalom, someone had no shayach to Torah mitzvahs. Sholeach shvach shol geshem min hashmayim, bring rain, bring rain. This guy who had no shayach, Rabbi Yerucham was watching this, he was totally amazed. He said, this is the Medrash. He says, there's a connection with every Yid and Hashem. But sometimes a person needs a moment of a problem to begin a dialogue. So somebody knows Shaykhus with Torah Mitzvahs, all of a sudden like Choni Amagil is standing there, davening to bring rain for Klal Yisrael. Because the relationship is there. But the relationship has to be cultivated. When you come into davening like a space cadet, biting your nails and looking for stains on your shirt, so then you're not going to be in have any Shaykhus with this. But when a person thinks about what's really bothering them in life, and they have a dialogue with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they bring that out, there's a fusion of you and the Ribbono Shel Olam that can't be described. And that's the idea of problems. That's why we have problems. So much so that the Gemara says an amazing thing in Chagiga. The Gemara tells us in Chagiga, Amar le Reb Lazar, my dichsiv hinei tzifarticha v'lo bekesef. I purified you. Bechartita bekur oni. I put you in the furnace of poverty. How did I purify you? I purified you not by putting you in a regular furnace, but in the furnace of poverty. Malamed shechazer HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol midas. Tovos, litin l'Yisrael. Hashem looked for the best present to give Klal Yisrael. Okay, get this. It's a Gemara in Daf Tes, in Chagiga. The best mida tova that Hashem could give us. V'lo matza ela anias. And the only thing he could find was being impoverished. That's the best thing Hashem could give us. So Baruch Hashem, there's a Rabbeinu Chananel on the page. Otherwise, I would be out of a job. What in the world does that mean, that the best thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us is poverty? Listen to the beautiful words of Rabbeinu Chananel. Chizer HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-kol midos v'lo matza no'al Yisrael ka'anias k'day. Why should poverty be good for us? K'day she'e libam shavar v'kavanasam l'shamayim. They named Tzlius Ramachma v'chasdav, so that they should look forward to Hashem helping them. Look forward to Rachmei Hashem, Chesed, solving their problems. If Klal Yisrael has no problems, then there's no relationship. There's no relationship. All of us have problems. Baruch Hashem, not all of us have official poverty, but there are areas that we're impoverished. And those areas are the areas that three times a day we're wasting our time. We could be mamish creating that serious relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fusing that relationship with Him. And even if the answer of Borei Olam is no, you're still going to have a tremendous thrill from asking the question. You're still going to feel like I felt by Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You're still going to feel that closeness. And you'll feel that the no was a real no. Not a no because you were brushed off, but no because you have somebody who loves you and says it's not good for you. I always tell my kids, there are like two no's for candies that I have. There's one no for candies because, you know, just I'm not letting it. Then the other one is I'm worried about you getting a stomach ache. You know what you downed today? Like we chazer over all the candies that happened. Like this is dangerous business. So it's like, it's not even a no. You can't be curious it as a no. I'm pushing nervous about your stomach. It's a different type of no. By Borei Olam, when you come over to him and you ask him for something, his no is different. His yes is a relationship and his no is a relationship. And I think this is pshat in the Tana Dvei Eliyahu. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu, the Medrash Shocher Tov. It's brought in the Mesillas Yesharim and Chassidus. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. Serve Hashem b'simcha. Amru b'medrash. Amar Rebbevai kishetia omeh lispalo. When you come and daven, yei libcha sameach alecha. Be happy. She'ata mispalo lelokim she'ein kayotzebo. You're davening to a Ribbono Shel Olam that there's nobody like him. What does this mean? What does this medrash mean? So I think the pashim shan in this medrash is that the word Elohim means a force. Hashem, when you have in mind the word Elohim, it means all capable, all powerful, kol yachal. When you're down and out, and you have a problem, and you go to Hashem, you have to be happy when you're speaking to Him. You know why? Because on the totem pole, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the highest you can get. He's an Elohim, a power that ain kayotzebo. No one else can possibly get this high, right? Whenever you have a problem in a store, you go, let me speak to the manager. You don't want to speak to these little people, because these little people, they say no about everything because they have no power and they're embarrassed about it. They go, we're not allowed to do it. We're not allowed. All right, let me speak to the manager. You try to go above. And then you try to get to the CEO, right? This has happened to me in my life. You try all the way up until somebody can make a decision around here. And it's so frustrating. So many things in life. You're going in front of someone who can make the decision. There's a tremendous simcha in that. You got that meeting. But let me ask you a question. Fine, you got the meeting, but why should I be happy? Maybe the answer is no. The answer is that if you're with somebody who's all powerful, so then when you're in other situations in life and you get a no, it's like something went wrong with my interview. or I didn't get to the right person, I didn't this, I didn't that. The no's are not really, they're frustrating because you don't feel they were in your best interest. But when you're by Borei Olam and you're having a conversation with him and you're telling him everything, he has nothing else that's stopping him. He's looking at you and saying, what is the best thing for you? And his yes makes you happy, and even his no creates a kesher, creates a connection. It always bothered me that the Mesillas Yesharim starts with something called Zahiris, Zrizis, and Nikias, which is everything you need to be a tzaddik gomor. A tzaddik gomor. And then he starts with something called Chasidus, which is having, being more shayach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having a connection with Hashem, being close with Him. Now, officially, davening is something that you do in the day. So it should be in the part of Mesillas Yesharim about behaving yourself, in the tzaddik part of Mesillas Yesharim. Are you a good boy or are you a bad boy? Mesillas Yesharim doesn't talk about davening there. He only talks about it in the later holy part, about really, really connecting to Hashem. And the reason is obvious. Tefillah is not supposed to be just because you have to. That's the smallest part of tefillah. It's supposed to open up a relationship. It creates a chassid. It creates someone who's really connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David said, I need tefillah. I am tefillah. Look at David's life. The man achieved everything, but the man had absolutely nothing. Rosh Yeshiva said they thought he was a mamzer. He brought a medrash. They thought David was a mamzer. They didn't even think that he was a son of Yishai. Okay? They didn't even know that Rus was good because of the fact that she was a Moaviyah. Okay? His son was chasing him his whole life. Shaul was chasing him. He was somebody who was made fun of after he did the quote-unquote hate, if you could call it that, with Bathsheba. Then everybody started mocking him. The Gemara in Baba Kama says people started teasing him. Hey, Rabbi, what's the halacha when somebody does this and this? Mocking him. David thrust all of those problems and he turned it into Sefer Tehillim. He turned it into a kesher that you and I, we cannot do anything without Tehillim. Why? Because David was tefillah. Ani tefillah. David was somebody who had a relationship with Hashem. He always had to come to Borei Olam. He always had situations where he had to have that kesher nafshi with Borei Olam. And when you come into davening with this attitude that you're bringing your day inside, you're not just bringing that now it's time officially to daven. What's bothering me today? What am I angry about? Literally. You're angry at a friend? Bring it to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Don't hurt the guy. Don't daven to hurt the guy. But bring that frustration. You feel that your Rebbe misjudged you? You feel that you're getting a tough rap in yeshiva? You feel that your Shabbos plans always get messed up? You feel you're having trouble making friends? Throw it on Hashem. And then a person really feels like, wow, this was a meeting. This was what life is. This is being an Adam. So we have to think about this. This is not something that just, you know, goes in one day. I'd ask everybody maybe even to listen to this a little bit again, if they could. But this is the key. The key is that tefillah is about connecting with Hashem with a dialogue, and it's the only way to fuse that relationship in this intimate way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should all be zocha to daven b'libah.